Our weekly Vents Day segment returns this week with your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. This week, let's talk about drought shaming and voter rules. 800-838-3760 is the phone number anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's start with drought shaming. The term is not new this year, but as the drought gets worse in parts of the West, people who don't want to see water wasted are turning up the heat. They're posting pictures online of places where water is wasted, calling out the landowners for their lack of conservation efforts. Type hashtag drought shaming into a search engine and you'll see lots of pictures of the actor Tom Selleck. He's the target of drought shaming for allegedly having truckloads of water delivered to his property in Southern California, truckloads from fire hydrants. And the drought shaming is going on across the border, too. Even parts of British Columbia affected by drought are starting to see drought shaming going on. If your sprinklers are sprinkling the sidewalk, there's a good chance you're going to end up getting drought shamed. What do you think? Appropriate responses to bad behavior or just a little too juvenile for your taste? How do you think water wasters should be handled? Let's hear your thoughts on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. And we're monitoring Facebook as well if you'd like to comment through our Facebook page. Item number two on this Vents Day involves who gets to vote in the United States, frequently a hot topic. The U.S. Senate stepped in recently with a bill that would restore some sections of the Voting Rights Act chucked out by the Supreme Court. In the absence of those sections, a couple of states once affected by the Voting Rights Act have passed laws making it a bit harder to vote. And that's the other recent event, testimony beginning in a lawsuit filed against the new election law passed in North Carolina. That was passed just a few weeks after the Supreme Court ruling. The lawsuit says the law is overly restrictive. Contrast that with Oregon, for example, where anybody signing up for a driver's license is put on the voter rolls, activated at age 18, and has to opt out if they don't want to be registered. What's your feeling? Make voting or at least getting registered as easy as possible? Or should it be somewhat restrictive? 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or through Facebook. This is Vents Day. We'll start taking your comments in 1 minute. This is Vents Day on The Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, drought shaming and voter eligibility requirements. Join us on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And we're monitoring our Facebook page as well to see if you'd like to place some comments there. So tell us, I mean, drought shaming, is this something that you have done yourself? I have to admit, I thought about it myself recently because I wanted to put a picture up on Facebook that showed all the places where the sprinklers seem to hit the sidewalks. And then, come on, we can hold back rivers with dams of concrete, and yet we can't seem to find a way to keep sprinklers from spraying onto the concrete. Why does that work? What is your thought generally about the concept of drought shaming, and what is your broader set of thoughts about how we should be handling ourselves in the drought? Should we just stop dead a lot of activities that we have been doing? In California's case, there are many more mandatory restrictions than there are on the Oregon side. A lot less lawn watering going on. We have some information from the Record Searchlight about the fact that people are cheating just a bit there as well. And that not just in Redding, but in many other parts of California, the conservation guidelines are not quite getting met. Is it, though, a good approach to undertake to do this drought shaming process where you hold people up to some sense of ridicule about what it is they're doing or not doing during the drought? Is it productive behavior? Is it unproductive? Is it juvenile? Where do you come down on drought shaming? Our other topic, of course, voter eligibility. We have legislation now to restore parts of the Voting Rights Act in Congress. We have the lawsuit with testimony going on in North Carolina against a law that passed since the Voting Rights Act provisions were stricken by the Supreme Court. What do you think? What is the eligibility, the bare set of eligibility requirements? Should there be any additional requirements on top of those, or should everybody get to vote? And for that matter, when you talk about voter participation, would you go as far as saying perhaps, like in Australia, voting is mandatory? Join us on The Exchange with your thoughts where you stand on this continuum. 800-838-3760 anywhere. Email address jx@jeffnet.org or comment through Facebook. Here's Nicole in Ashland by phone. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. I just wanted to put in a word about each one. First of all, I think that it is a good idea to get people to conserve water any way possible, because we cannot exist without water, and there's been such a huge, tremendous waste of water in so many areas, and huge companies shouldn't be able to contaminate our water supply. And secondly, is I think everyone should vote. That's what democracy is all about. And I think even people who are so-called felons, if they've served their time, they still deserve to vote. That's all I have to say.
All right, so even felons should vote. All right, thanks for that. Appreciate it, Nicole, which raises an interesting question about what it says in the Constitution about voting. And the answer is not much until you get to the actual amendments that deal with allowing allowing black people to vote after the Civil War, allowing women to vote in the early part of the 20th century, and other changes in law that have happened since that time. But generally, just the other change in law was allowing 18-year-olds the right to vote. Other than that, the original Constitution is fairly mum on the concept of who gets to vote, which is why states have had such a bit of a playground over the years in figuring out who does and does not get to vote. What are your thoughts on eligibility for voting and barriers to voting? Is it a barrier if somebody, for example, is forced to produce a photo ID at a polling place, which, of course, is not an issue for Oregon because of vote by mail? What should be some of the simple requirements, and are they as simple as we think they are to be able to go ahead and vote and to get registered to vote in the first place? That's one of our topics. The other one, of course, drought shaming, and where you come down on the idea of putting people up for ridicule if they are watering the sidewalk or watering their car or watering their garden or doing things that generally are not the best idea when we are that short of water. I'm looking right now at the drought shaming hashtag and what it produces on Twitter, and it looks like even Jessica Simpson is being held up for ridicule because she's been watering the sidewalk around her house and her lawn is nice and green, all that sort of thing. I mean, is it an appropriate way to do things to get people to comply with the watering restrictions by shaming them more or less publicly? 800-838-3760, our phone number anywhere in the listening area on this Vince Day. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. We'll keep an eye on Facebook as well and monitor for comments there. The editorial I mentioned from the Record Searchlight in Reading points out that Reading Public Works Director Brian Crane says his office was getting dozens of calls daily fingering water wasters across the city, though that number has tapered off to 15 or 20 as of last week. Despite all the publicity, despite information included in monthly water bills, despite door hangers warning of the new restrictions, some people just don't get it, Brian Crane says. City water customers did cut back. Even in June, which ended with a spate of industrial-strength Reading heat, they managed to cut back by 30%, but still, that just doesn't cut it. State water officials have made it very clear that while they're willing to work with local water agencies, they're also more than willing to fine them up to $10,000 a day if they don't toe that 36% line in the very dry sand. That's an expensive lesson in conservation that most city budgets aren't prepared to pay, not for long anyway. Eager to show good faith and anxious to meet those goals, Reading City officials are stepping up enforcement. They've hired North State Security to patrol the 17 neighborhoods in the water service area, looking for people watering on the wrong days or at the wrong time, overwatering, and even for badly aligned sprinklers. Patrols start Wednesday, this is last Wednesday, and will continue for the next few months. The Record Searchlight goes on. Surely those people already know who they are, but are just too lazy or too stubborn or too selfish to change their ways. There's simply no excuse for that ignorance or attitude. The security firm won't issue citations, but the information the patrols gather will go back to the city for action. That means a warning door hanger followed with a warning letter if the soggy squanderers don't comply. If they persist in their wicked ways, they can be fined up to $50 per incident. So far, working on tips that have come in, the city has issued the first two warnings to a number of people, but no fines have been imposed. This, again, according to Brian Crane, the Reading Public Works director. He's worried that the state may think the city still has to do more to hit that mandatory 36%. His fear is that state water officials will tell the city to cut back outdoor watering from 3 days to 2 days a week. In Reading's heat, that would be a real shame. At least with three watering days, residents might be able to save the trees in their yards. It would be a sad, hot day if we lost all that shade. It would be just as sad to see the city forced to pay those steep fines, which are avoidable. As noted earlier, surely almost everybody is very much aware of the drought and the law, and how very important water conservation is. They should get used to those conservation measures. We still have no idea when this drought will end. And the time has come to lose patience with those who so blatantly flaunt laws designed to get us all through this extreme situation. Find them now, and as often as necessary, writes the Record Searchlight. Maybe that's the only way to get their attention. Well, that's a fairly strong set of opinions from the Record Searchlight in Reading on the editorial page from the 9th of July. Join us with your thoughts on the Jefferson Exchange, drought shaming, and voter rights and responsibilities. 800-838-3760 to comment on either topic by phone. Send an email to jx@jeffnet.org or hop on our Facebook page. If you've liked us, you're eligible to place comments there right under the post that says Vents Day, July 15th. Join us on any of these venues. Mike in Medford sent an email writing about drought shame. He says, I'd like to drought shame the Medford Water Commission. I hear stories every week about Ashland's water conservation efforts. They're even trying artificial turf. True, artificial turf in the median of Siskiyou Boulevard. There isn't a whisper, writes Mike, about any water-saving efforts in Medford. People continue to blow away their useless and wasteful lawns, but the salmon won't be able to get upstream this fall. Oh, well, they were only here for a few million years. It's easy to understand why Medford functions so poorly. Mike in Medford on that. And I think this is the same Mike in Medford who may be on the phone as well. Let's go to this phone call, if I can get this button to push. There we go. Mike in Medford, welcome to the exchange.
Different Mike. Evidently, there's a bunch of Mikes who care about water.
Okay, good to know.
No, I'm just wondering, is society doing enough about drought shaming the water bottling companies? And I'm going to leave it at that.
Just the water bottle. Okay, that's a good point to bring up. And there has been a lot of pressure on the water bottling companies, particularly in California, to change what they do. It has been pointed out that in terms of acre feet, which is the general measure for broader uses of water, perhaps the water bottlers are not using that much. But it was enough that Starbucks took its house brand of water production out of California for the time being and moved it to its other plant in Pennsylvania. And we'll be taking it up there. But what do you think? I mean, first of all, just in terms of bottled water generally, do you carry a bottle of water around now and fill it up all the time? Or are you the kind of person who buy a new bottle of water all the time? And do you feel any need to change that behavior given drought going on both sides of the state line? Your thoughts on drought, drought approaches, and drought shaming, welcome here on the Jefferson Exchange. We can also talk about voting rights and voting responsibilities. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or check out our Facebook page and comment under the Vents Day, July 15th comment. Let's go to Dennis and Eugene. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, I wanted to comment about the drought, and I think that there's a big disconnect with people in that the majority of people live in cities,
mm-hmm.
and they don't go out into the wilderness and see what's happening with the snow, the glaciers, the water, the reservoirs. They don't see any of that. And so they don't, the rivers, the fact that the forests are tinder dry and there's a lot of infestation of bugs in the forests and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can't really comprehend how terrible a situation we're in when it comes to water.
That's a good point, because when you turn the faucet handle and water comes out, you think everything's fine.
Yeah. I've always been an outdoorsman. I've spent probably more hours outdoors in the woods than I've ever spent indoors in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to this day, I still do a lot of fishing and hunting and that sort of thing, a lot of things that's something that isn't popular nowadays. So I'm around the outdoors a lot, and I don't know how to get through to the folks like that live in L.A. or San Bernardino, or, you know, they just hear this thing, well, you can't use any more water, or you got to do this or that. And to them, it just seems like it's just another rule that they have to adhere to, and their life's already miserable. I mean, living in L.A. is a miserable place to live, really. And then to say you can't have your swimming pool, or you can't have your water your lawn, or wash your car, that just seems like it's more restrictive. And so for them, it seems, I'm sure, like they're just being picked on by government because they don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You think it'd be better if they actually got out into the countryside, or at least saw what's going on out there? And
oh, yeah. I mean, anybody that thinks that we're not having a terrible drought in the West, for sure, all they need to do is, if they can't go out into the country, go online and look at some pictures of, say, like if you live here in Oregon, look at the Three Sisters, you know, 20 years ago, and then look at a picture of the Three Sisters now. Or look at any of the glacial, how they've shrunk. Or drive up to any of the dams and see how there's no water in any of them.
Yeah, some of the side-by-side pictures of the glaciers are pretty good. I'm also looking at one from California from FolsomLakeMarina.com. It's the live camera, and you can see all these docks that are arrayed just sitting up on dry land far from any water because there is very, very little water in Folsom Lake.
People just, if they really understood, I don't think there would be any problem getting them to do what they need to do. And I don't think trying to shame them is going to help. I think that's actually going to make it worse because I think people become belligerent then.
Yeah, that could
work. They go, oh, yeah, you're just one of those do-gooders, you know, like that, because they don't understand. They just see it as somebody else trying to tell them what to do.
All right. Dennis, thanks for the thoughts. Very much appreciated. Dennis and Eugene here on the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day, your chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. Topic one, drought shaming. Topic two, voter eligibility, voter requirements. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Well, not questions, comments on either of these. Polite ones, 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or go to our Facebook page and paste a comment under the Events Day, July 15th banner there. So let's go to Lauren in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Events Day.
Hi there. I think I have some relevant comments because I have been, I don't live in Oregon anymore. I'm just visiting. I've been living 20 miles north of Sacramento, so we're hit pretty hard by the drought.
Mm-hmm.
And the main points I want to bring up is, in America we do this thing. We point our fingers at individual people who do very little waste compared to corporations, and we do not talk about corporate waste, which is a huge waste. I don't have big statistics, but one thing I can tell you is there are big water companies, like Crystal Geyser is coming in to Mount Shasta. Now, many of us who know Mount Shasta, we know how small that is. The community doesn't want it. Governor Jerry Brown has okayed it. I heard a caller call in on KQED Radio, San Francisco a few months ago, and the guest would not comment on that. Nestle is also in California. How much of this goes for export around the country and around the world? The same thing with almond farming, which is huge in California. It must be one of the main places in the world to grow almonds. The large majority, I think, I could be wrong, but I think it's something like 90% is for export to the rest of the world. That takes an awful lot of water. So while I agree that it's a good idea for people to be conscious of how much we use and to get out in nature, this is really a drop in the bucket. Even watering your sidewalk, it isn't a good habit. Or watering your green lawn, I think maybe some exceptions could be made for people to water their vegetable gardens or their orchards, because that's only helping us, you know, when you can grow your own food.
Sure.
But this is really nothing compared to corporations. And we do this so much. We blame the person who has the least power, and it's just kind of shocking to me that none of the guests on KQED, this was probably back in April, would even comment on this man's very, very poignant question. And he lives in Mount Shasta. And then what other corporations waste water? I don't know statistics, but it's kind of shocking.
All right. Well, good
point. And another thing I just wanted to comment on with your last caller, I get out in nature a whole lot. In fact, I used to be living out in natural forest a lot of the year in between my seasonal work because I loved it so much, and it's still one of the last real freedoms that we have in this country. You know, for a certain number of days at a time, you can be camping in national forest. It's one of our rights. And this year, driving up to Oregon at the end of May, when I was just here for a weekend, Mount Shasta was absolutely covered in snow. Mount Ashland, an hour and 20 minutes later, farther north, is dry. And being on Ashland, walking every day in Ashland, which is something I'd love to do when I'm in Oregon in the summer, 2 weeks ago, the late August wildflowers were out then, you know, beginning of July.
Right.
There were other years, maybe just 2 or 3 years ago, when you couldn't even get in to the main camping area at the end of June because it was covered in snow. So that's very odd to me that Shasta got a late snowfall, a big one, in Ashland seemed to me like it got almost nothing.
Yeah, it's been very unpredictable of late, and you bring up a bunch of good points. Thanks for the call, Lauren. Appreciate that. Corporations certainly deserving of scrutiny, and it has been pointed out many times that the place you could do a smaller tweak to get a larger effect is in agriculture, because most of California's water is used for agriculture, despite the fact that California is home to 38 million people. The domestic water use is not that great, so a point to bring up, which brings us back to the original question about, is drought shaming an appropriate and helpful technique? And for that matter, for people who are trying to save water on a local level, there's something to be said for symbolism, isn't there? I mean, at least if you're trying to stay within the guidelines, isn't that helpful? Let's get your thoughts. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area to talk to us on Vents Day about drought shaming and voter rights. 800-838-3760, email address jx@jeffnet.org. Facebook, you can also comment there as well. Debbie in Talent writes that Mike in Medford brought up the most important point, buying water is stupid, but continued use of plastics by buying water in plastic bottles is going to bury us. Thanks for Debbie in Talent for that. Jay in Walterville gets in on water and voting. He says in the 80s, there were water cops like meter maids in Santa Barbara. Painting lawns became popular. I actually worked for the firm that designed and built Tom Selleck's place, which has come under scrutiny for its use of water. Plant natives and water-wise plants. And he says, bottled water is dumb and dumber. Fill bottles yourself, water from tap, which comes from the Kenzie in the Eugene area. And poll taxes are my concern. A lot of things there in a list there from Jay in Walterville. Patricia Ann, no town given. She writes, if no one is using potable water to flush their waste... If one is using potable waste to flush their waste, using potable water, let me try this again. If a person is using potable water to flush their waste, that person is wasting water. Yours in least waste, she signs it. Patricia Ann, your thoughts about drought shaming and about voting rights. Welcome on this Vents Day. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or comment via Facebook. A little stuff on the Voting Rights Act. Pat Leahy, Senator Pat Leahy from Vermont, is working on the change to the Voting Rights Act. He says this bill is more ambitious, writes the Los Angeles Times editorial board, than a version introduced last year, which, among other differences, calculated a state's eligibility for preclearance based on violations within a 15-year period. The Democrats likely would be willing to accept a shorter period if Republicans were willing to endorse meaningful preclearance of voting changes. Key phrase here, sadly, the Republicans who control both houses of Congress tend to see this issue through a purely partisan prism. Why, they wonder, would we make it easier for racial minorities to vote when they disproportionately support Democratic candidates? So a couple thoughts there from the Los Angeles Times. Back to water with Bill in Hornbrook. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hey, I think I used to be the water master out here in Hornbrook,
uh-huh.
And so we've had, and we tend to run pretty dry out here. And I was, for people that don't know, Hornbrook is right across the border.
Right.
We're like of Oregon, 7 miles. But, you know, I think I've always felt that the way to control this is through punitive rates, meaning raise up the rates to corporations and to everybody, you know, give them a baseline that's reasonable, and then raise up the rates to where it's very punitive for people to exceed the base rate. And the same for corporations. They need to have a certain amount of water to run their businesses. We don't want all the businesses going out or the farmers mm-hmm. going out.
But above that, you start charging punitive rates.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Bill. Appreciate that. Let's go to Val in Medford. Final call. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi. Great job on the show.
Thank you.
Nobody's really mentioned climate change in regard to the water shortage. And as the planet changes, there's only going to be less and less water, and there's more and more people. I don't see it as a local phenomenon, but more of a global one. And it needs to be addressed, I think, at a national level, while we're suffering, of course, at a state level.
All right. Understood. Thanks for that, Val. Appreciate it. John in Ashland writes, if California would have the courage to reform water distribution instead of focusing primarily on residential conservation, the residents would have plenty of water even during severe droughts like the current one. That from John in Ashland. Thanks to all of you for taking part in another Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange.